Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Amen. Come on, take your seat, get your Bible, and I want to take you to Matthew, the sixth chapter. I was asked to continue the theme of our Sunday nights, which is prayer, and I love that. I'll give you some insight about me and prayer. You know, oftentimes because of where Debbie have and I have been over the years, what we've blessed by God in His grace, all the great things that God has allowed us to do. Sometimes people think that Pastor Deborah and Pastor Jim are great prayer people. I want you to know the truth, because I can't stand before you as a hypocrite. My Deborah is the most amazing prayer person I have ever known in my life. I can't tell you how many times she has woke me up in the middle of the night while she's in the other room praying for the kids. You know, all our kids serve God. Before they ever served God, they were like every other kid. They were just brats. And but she wouldn't look at that. She just kept on praying. You moms that have children, you just lay hands on them. You pray for them. You believe God for them. God's not finished with your kids yet. And even if they're grown up and gone, and they don't even want to talk to you, don't even like you. There's people like that, and God bless you for that. But let me tell you something. You just keep praying, because God's faithful. And He'll answer the prayers of a mom every time, and even the dads. I was kind of that guy that likes to walk around, and when I'm in that position with God where I think about God and look at something that reminds me of God, I would always stop and pray. I still do. So I'm kind of continuously praying all day. I'll walk through the sanctuary alone and not having any great prayer meeting or shouting and screaming, but I'm praying all day. I might sit down at breakfast and thank God for the food, but then while I'm eating it, and I'll just be in somewhat of prayer. I'm different than Deborah. There's different kinds of prayer, but the most important thing is this. Prayer comes not from your mouth, but from your heart. Prayers that come from the mouth or from the mind don't get very far. Most of us have been trained to have prayers that come from the mouth and the mind out of traditions of men, religious ceremonial rituals. And that's kind of sad, but you know, it was better than nothing. I was brought up in a denomination, like many of you. I was a Catholic boy. And at one time when I was very young, I was even an altar boy and, you know, fed the wine to the priests and drank half of it myself while I was feeding it to them. So I did all that kind of stuff, you know. And the neat thing about Catholic Church, and I really bless them for this, they never taught me anything about the Bible. Because when I got saved, then I didn't have to unlearn something to learn something. I'll tell you what was neat about the Catholic Church that I loved is they taught me reverence for God. I knew there was a God, even though it was a God that scared the hell out of me, but it was a God, you know. And so it kept me going. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, they didn't teach much except, boy, and the roof's gonna fall down on your head if you go someplace else other than the Catholic Church. Those days were different. They're different today than they were then. And they taught me how to pray the Lord's Prayer. I always remember, because I went to sleep every night quoting the Lord's Prayer, and it would go, you know, "Our Father, Thou art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know how it goes. And so on, and I could just wrap that out like really fast and just say it. And inside of me, I thought I was praying. I thought God was hearing me. In fact, when I was really bad and really needed God, I'd say that prayer 4 or 5 times, you know. And then if I went to confession, which wasn't very long because there was always my mom outside hearing me, and she'd slap me around when I got outside. "Mom, I'm forgiven, remember?" And so she'd slap me around because I was a dirty little kid, and like so many of you. And so it was kind of fun, you know. I mean, it was like, "Oh, Mom, let's don't go to confession." I went to confession only a few times in my life, and it just felt weird talking to somebody behind a screen. Kind of weird to me. I don't know what it was, but maybe it's like, you know, I don't know. Nevertheless, that's the way you did it, and that's what it was. And I was brought up with this tradition of praying the Lord's Prayer, never realizing really what the Lord's Prayer was saying. never realizing that it was a pattern that God was asking us to follow, but not a tradition in saying the exact words, like as if you're brain dead and you just said the words and they didn't really mean anything. Anybody ever learned to pray the Lord's Prayer when you're a kid and that was your prayer? Give me your hands up in the air if that's almost all of you. So it's kind of fascinating. Tonight, I thought we'd look at the scripture that leads up to the Lord's Prayer, and then tell you what the meaning is of the Lord's Prayer, so you could take your prayers and then pattern them after the meanings of the Lord's Prayer. It was never the intention of Jesus for us to say word for word, and that's it. First of all, God's not stupid. And if for us to believe that God hears a prayer that's just something that you memorized, that you threw out, and God says, oh, they said the right formula of words. Wow, did you guys and angels, did you hear? They said the right formula of words. I'll just say, wow, that's wonderful. I can't even believe that. Because it's not about prayer that comes out of a formula in your mind that you memorized. It's about talking to God. And by the way, prayer is also listening to God. It's just as important to listen to God as it is to talk to God. And may I say this to you? It's about what comes from your heart. And I'm not even sure. I'm not putting theology, even though I've been a theologian for 40 years. I'm not putting theology on this and say God doesn't. I'm just saying I'm not sure me that God really even hears prayers that aren't from the heart. And it's important for us to understand this. If we don't care very much and it's not part of our heart when we speak it, then why should it be part of His heart when He hears it? And that's what I'd like to share with you tonight, is how rich the Word of God really is as Jesus speaks to us, Matthew, the 6th chapter, starting in verse number 5. So if you have your Bible, go to Matthew in the 6th chapter, verse number 5. All red letter tonight. These are the words of Jesus. And then we'll pray together. Is that okay? Won't take very long. Then I'm going to kick you out of here. Is that all right? And it'll be kind of fun. And when you pray, Jesus says, verse number 5, you should not be like, I like this, when he starts to talk about prayer and he's talking to his disciples, first thing he does is he warns them. He warns them about some things that they shouldn't be doing. Have you ever thought about why God would start to speak to his disciples about a subject like prayer, and the first thing that comes out of Jesus' mouth is a warning? Because he knows mankind. He knows it's easy. We're like water that'll go and flow to the easiest spots. So therefore, we'll find the easiest way of doing something instead of really concentrating and making a heartfelt expression. So he comes along in verse number 5, he says, and when you pray, you shall not be like hypocrites. A lot of times we don't understand. If you have your Bible, you ought to circle the word hypocrites. Another word for hypocrite in our modern day language is the word just this, listen to this, phony. Somebody who's just a phony. You know, says stuff that looks good on the outside, but deep down inside, there's nothing there. He's just a phony. So first thing God says is don't be like the phonies. Now, my question to you and you and you is how does he know who's a phony? Obviously, God can look at something in your life and in my life and see if we're really real about it. So sometimes when we throw our little token prayers up, we think maybe we just did the right thing, when in fact we just didn't do the right thing. Why? Because he can read your heart. This is really all about the heart. So when he comes along, he says, the first warning is don't be like those phonies out there. What do phonies do? Listen to what it says in verse number 5. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. You say to yourself, whoa, my goodness sakes, I'll never pray in public. That's what Jesus just said. That's not what Jesus just said. And that's why a lot of people make mistakes. God's not saying don't pray in public. He just says don't pray to be seen by man. That's a hypocrite. In other words, you're presenting something to God so men will think you're looking pretty cool. And that's a hypocrite. That's a phony. So he's not saying you can't pray in front of people. Like so many people say, you know, I just can't pray in front of people because I don't want, you know, God told me not to do that. Let me tell you something. God didn't tell you to do that. What God told you to do is be sincere with him and not just pray for because you're trying to please people or look good in the eyes of people. Whether you're seen or not seen is not the issue. I remember when we first started the church, I said, God, I'd like to have 5,000 people in the church. Isn't he a wonderful God? Did four times that amount. And listen to this. He said, I said, God, and I want them not to know their pastor, but I want them to know you. It wasn't about me. It's never been about me. It's not going to be about me. I won't let it be about me. So therefore, I could stand in front of a crowd and pray. I'm not trying to please you because the Bible makes it very clear in Galatians that I'm not a man pleaser. And if you are a man pleaser, you shouldn't be in the ministry. Is anybody listening? And so here we find something very important for us. He says, first things, don't be someone who's seen and loves the adulation and the approval and acceptance of man. Verse number 6 comes, and let me finish verse number 5 because it's kind of important. Assuredly, I say unto you, they have their reward. What was their reward? Does anybody know what their reward is? They were what? Seen. That's what they wanted. That's what they got. Why did they pray? To be seen. Therefore, you prayed to be seen. How does God know that? He knows the heart. Guess what? You got what you prayed for, to be seen. Didn't get the answer to prayer, but you got the answer that you wanted. You were seen. Is this good? Verse number 6. Come on, let's take a look. This gets better all the time. I haven't got the Lord's Prayer. But you, I love that when he says, but you. That means me. That really means you. This is for all of us that are called by God. All of us that are born of the Spirit of God. All of us that are disciples. He says, but you. When you pray, I love the word when there. The word when you prayed means, I know you don't pray all the time. Is that not what it says? He didn't say, hey, listen, I want you to pray all the time. He doesn't. He says, when you pray, which means some days you're going to pray a lot, some days you ain't going to pray a bit. Ever been around your relatives? I find myself praying more with my relatives. Why? They're all sinners. But there's days when I'm around Debbie, I'm not praying so much. I'm just wanting to kiss her. And so guess what? It says, when you pray, go into your room. And then it goes on and says, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Stop right there. Let's just talk about it. Now, he's talking to you and he says, when you pray, go into your room. Which really is saying that if I'm out in the country and don't have my room, I shouldn't pray, right? No, that's not what he's saying. Come on, some of you are going, yeah. No, that's not what he's saying. Listen, look at the word again. This is not about being in a room or not being in a room. Not about shutting a physical door or not shutting a physical door. When he makes this statement, he's using it as an illustration to try to point out something for you and I. He says, when you pray, go into your room. Do you know where your room is? Someplace nobody else is. Your heart. You go into your heart, your room. That's my private room. There's nobody in there but me and God. And I can do it in the wilderness. I can do it in the desert. I can do it at the beach. I can do it at home. I can do it driving my car. I really do it when I'm coming out of LA at rush hour. I'm praying all kinds of things like, God, forgive me. I want to kill everybody in front of me. Somebody know what I'm talking about. And so we find ourselves in this place, and God says, he says, shut the door. You know what that means? Turn off all the other thoughts that want to come into your heart. Have you ever started to pray and your mind starts to wander? Come on, am I the only one in here that's ever done that? I need to have a, yes, that's me. You know darn well, if you don't answer me this way, then you're lying. I have to cast the lying devil out of you. Because you know darn well when you pray, oftentimes your mind would wander, right? Huh? You say, oh God, I'm telling you, Lord, I just see myself going into that 7-Eleven and buying that lotto ticket. Oh no, Lord, well, I don't care if you buy a lotto ticket, just remember to tithe. personally to Jim Gilbray. I'm kidding. Some of you are just so religious, you get so uptight about things. Loosen up a little bit. And then the Word of God comes along and says this: shut the door, get those people out, get the thoughts out. Pray to your Father, talk to Him. Wants to hear from you. And He says this: who is in a secret place. Really, the word place isn't even really there in the original text, but He's in secret. In other words, He's someplace that just you're at. He's actually in that room with you, in your heart. Talk to Him. It's a secret place with just you and me. And then He comes along and He says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. The word openly is not even there in the original text. So let's take the word openly out just for a thing, because it's not there in the original text, but put it in there just for our thinking so that we can see it, what's being said. He says, and I like what it says originally. It says, and your Father who sees in the heart, watch this, will reward you, period. You know, will reward you, period. Just like the ones the verse before got their reward, which was to be seen. That was what they really wanted. Yours isn't what you really want, except the answers to your prayers. Anybody ever prayed to God want answers?
Yes.
Listen to this. It's in that secret place in your heart, you and God together, where you spend time and you lay it out and you talk to Him and you tell Him exactly the way it is. And stop by and trying to be religious. Just talk to Him like you would talk to anybody. Say, God, here I am. I'm a mess. Can you help me in this area? I need help. I'm feeling pressure and I need you. And the neatest things happen when you do that, because He will reward you. Verse number 7 comes, and I love verse 7 because it's full of exciting passages too. It says, and when you pray, there it is, when you pray. Next week, next month, hour, hopefully all the time, but when you do it, He says, He's going to tell you something else. Don't be use repetition. As the heathen do. Repetition is like, when I was a young man, they'd say, okay, you sin this much, go do 25 of those kinds of prayers. I don't want to be disrespectful, so I'm not going to use that as a term, because I really love the Catholic Church. I'm glad I'm not there, but I love the Catholic Church. And I'm not against anything. But they would say, go speak it 25 times. And I'd go out and I'd pray 25 times, you know, because I had done something wrong. Repetition is not what this is about. Jesus makes it very clear. How many times have we ever gone to the Lord with our Father, thou art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And it's just repetition. It's something memorized. It's something thrown out. And we go, whew, I did it. You did what? He says, the heathens do that. Speak that stuff over and over and over. God's not looking for traditional prayer. God's looking for a conversation with you and I from your heart. Because it's all about the heart with God. If what comes out of my mouth comes out of my mind and doesn't come out of my heart, it doesn't work. In fact, with that in mind, I want you to hold your spot right there, verse number 7. And let's go, if you will, to James. In the 6th chapter, I think it is, in James, the 5th chapter, verse 16, I think it is. And let's take a look at James, what James writes. By the way, in case you didn't know who James was, James is the half-brother of Jesus. Can you imagine being the half-brother of Jesus? He was the senior pastor of the church of Jerusalem. How cool is that? James writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's really not James speaking. It's really God speaking to you and I through the inspired scripture of God. And here James makes a statement: confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. It's really good to have a partner to be able to do that with. Husbands and wives, hopefully you have that. Debbie and I have had that all of our years. I always confessed, she always slapped me around. And pray for one another. And it says that you may be healed. And it says, and then it says these words, and they're really powerful words to remember. Watch this, we're talking about a prayer coming out of your heart, not of your mind. Prayer coming out of your heart and with something in it, behind it, in your secret place with God the Father. He says, the effective. You know what an effective is? Something that changes the world around you. Something that has got value to it. Something that's got is substance. It's an effective bit. Listen, if I tapped you in the jaw, just fun, boom, not very effective. But if I hit you right in the square of the face, that's effective. Same thing here. It says the effective, something that force behind it, that's effective. And it says the effective, fervent. You know what fervent means? Something on fire, something alive, something a hot prayer. And he says the fervent prayer of a righteous man fails every time. Does your Bible say that? Wait a minute. Your Bible doesn't say that? The fervent prayers of a righteous man never get answered? Does your Bible say the fervent prayer of a righteous man is boring to God? And he's looking the other way and you'll never get what you prayed for. That's not what it says at all. It says the fervent prayer of a righteous man, the righteousness you got from Jesus Christ, is not about being so cool and clean and all that. Jesus wiped you with his blood, making you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That part's already done. But the fervent, listen to this, and the effective prayer, that's got to come from your heart. And it says, availeth what? Much. In other words, it gets done, my friends. And that's sometimes we forget about something. Listen, if I'm going to God, even if I go, I'd much rather go to God once a day and be effective and fervent and passionate from my heart than to speak to God all day long as a deadbeat. You know what I'm saying? The deadbeat prayer isn't going anywhere. But that one prayer, man, phew. So someone says, are you a prayer person? Absolutely. Because there's times, but I tell you, it just comes out. I remember Mama, when she prayed for the kids, you know, she made sure those kids weren't going south by prayer. They didn't have a chance. When they grew up, all of them, I said, listen, don't become a pastor. You know, all the other pastors want their kids to become preachers. Not me, man. I said, don't become a pastor. Go get a real job. I mean, pastoring is like everybody judges you. Everybody, one day they love you, the next day they cuss you out. One day they think you're wonderful, next day they think you're Satan's brother. I mean, God, man, go get a real job. This is terrible. Then you have all the problems and you carry the weight of everybody and their hurts and their pains, and they're growing, they're not mature yet, so they're getting knocked around from pillar to post, and you're finding, like, go get a real job, man, where you check in the morning, you go home at night, turn on the television, put your feet up, relax. Somehow it didn't work. And it's that woman I married, because she was praying for those kids all the time at night. I would say, I would hear, she'd be in the living room, in the next room, and I'd be in there. She'd say, you won't get up and pray? No, I don't pray at night. I pray a horizontal prayer called snoring. Everybody else prays in tongues. I pray in no's. You know, I wasn't about to get in that prayer room with that. And I could hear that woman just going and going and going. And then I hated this part when she started talking to God about me. Oh, God, you need to wake that man up. You need to get him fired up for Jesus. I had no way to, I just had to, two things. I either divorce her or I get right with God. She's a powerful preacher. Powerful woman of God in prayer. And I'm telling you the truth. She drove me nuts in her nights of prayer. Absolutely drove me nuts. I'd be in the other room praying, God, shut her up. But thank God there was somebody pushed past all of that and it came from her heart. Aren't you see? Because there's results in that. That's a true story, by the way. Very true, very true. Verse number 7, go back there with me. And it says, and when you pray, do not pray vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many. I love that word. Many words means prayers don't have to be a lot, and they don't have to be long, and they have to be filled with many words. I think one of the greatest prayers you ever have is Jesus help. two words. And if it comes from your heart, boy, you just activated God. You know, and a lot of times we forget that. We think we have to have a certain kind of prayer, speak in King James and all that kind of stuff, and thous and thous and that. Forget that stuff. Talk to God. He knows you're human. Try to act that way. Just talk to God. Get up in the middle of the night. Have fun. Talk to the Lord about things. I get up in the middle of the night all the time now and talk to God because her prayers actually worked. When you get older, you don't sleep very good. You might as well get up and pray, huh? Verse number 8. Which is kind of fun. Listen to this. This is therefore. You know, it's all therefore because of what he just said. Do not be like them, for their Father knows the things that they have need of before you ask him. That's the craziest verse I've ever heard. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. And your question is now, if he knows what I need, why do I have to ask him? Asking him activates him. Sitting back saying, he knows what I need, says, okay, I know what you need, but you're not caring enough about it, then why should I? And I found also something very important. When I activate God by prayer, I find myself relieved because the thing that I was praying about, I left with him. And remember what I said earlier? Come close to me and he'll come close to you. Now, when I pray, I get close to God. God gets close to me and I feel good already right off the bat. So I need to activate God because it's, listen to this, it's not that he doesn't know what I need, he knows what I need, but he'll get involved in what you really want to get involved in. Remember the guys that were out there just wanting to be seen and they got their reward? They got their reward being seen. Guess what? Well, what if that's not why you prayed? You really wanted results. But if you know he knows what you need, man, half of it's already done. All the other half you have to do is put your side into it, and when you activate God in prayer because you're passionate about what you're asking him for, it gets done according to the word of God. It's amazing. And then he comes along and he makes this statement, which is just bizarre and wonderful. In this manner, therefore, and I love the word manner there. The word manner means, you know, it's not the way you ought to do it. This is just giving you a format on how to talk to God. And I like this. First thing he says is, open your gates with, come into his gates with thanksgiving and praise. Write the word praise down. Because I'm going to give you a bunch of P's here. Praise. Our Father who art in heaven, or who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, God, you are holy. You are magnificent. You are separated. You are different. You're not like the world. You're not like the Democrats. You're not like the Republicans. You're not like people who can't make up their mind. You are God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, set apart from everything else. There's no one like you anywhere. And God, I come into your presence letting you know I know who you are. You're great and mighty. You're the healer. You're the one that answers prayers before they're even asked. But God, I'm asking because it's coming from my heart. And man, you praise him. The second thing he says in verse number 10, your kingdom come. And he says these words, it will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth. Your will be done. So the second thing is not praise. Praise is number one. But the second thing is purpose. There's a purpose for prayer, whether it be for your home, your family, your children, whether it be for your boss, whether it be for the job, your economy, whether it be for your finances, whether it be for your city, whether it be whatever there's a purpose. So praise is number one, but now there's a purpose that his kingdom comes. God, we need your plan on earth. We need your will on earth. We need your purpose on earth. We need your ways on earth. God, we can't exist if we keep doing things man's way. We need to do things on earth your way. And man, it's all of a sudden, there's purpose described in this verse. So when you come to God, you praise him, and then you present the purpose of his will, how if God gets involved in it, how it's going to change things. Third thing you see is provision. found, if you will, in verse number 11. In verse number 11, it says these words, "Give us this day our daily bread." In other words, it's all right to ask God to give you provision. It's all right, God, I need a job. God, I need a promotion. God, I need a raise. God, I need to be somewhere where I can earn enough income to bless my family and be a witness to my children about how life is good. God, it's okay to ask God. God wants to provide for you. God does not want you broke down, busted, and disgusted. He wants to bless you in every area of your life. And it's all right to ask God, if you will, for this wonderful thing called provision. Fourth thing you see in verse number 12, and I love this, is pardon. And the word pardon simply is describing these words in verse number 12, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Lord, as I'm forgiving people who have violated me, I thank you, God, that you are forgiving me. Did you know we are all screw-ups? Even if you're born of the Spirit of God and been a theologian for 40 years, every now and then you will screw up. The whole object is someday you will screw up less than you used to screw up. And in the meantime, you're going to need him to look at you, laugh, forgive you, because everybody that's been against you, you have forgiven them. And that's what he says. And man, that's a big word called pardon. And now notice the formula starting to last and starting to come to pass in the Lord's Prayer. The third one found in verse number, or excuse me, the fifth one found in verse number 13 is protection. In protection, it says this, "And do not lead us into temptations." What it really means is God's not leading you into temptation. You lead yourself into temptation. What you're really praying is, God, help me to learn how to be strong against the things that want to tempt me and take me back to a road that will bring me to defeat. I don't want to be defeated. I don't want to lose. I don't want to fail. I don't want to give up. I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to fall. God, help me to be strong. Holy Spirit, speak to me and encourage me that I, God, do not have to do these things, that the power of God in me is greater than the power of a devil on the outside. So lead me not into those temptations. Sometimes we read that and think, see, God tempts us. God doesn't tempt you with anything. Then he says, "But deliver us from the evil one." Boy, I like that part, which brings us to this wonderful subject, if you will, of praise and partnership as protection. Protection is so good. Lead us not into temptation. And then he comes along and makes that statement. He says, "But deliver us from evil one. For yours is the kingdom." And then this, notice this in verse number 13, which is the last one. Back to praise and back to partnership. In other words, here's what he says. "For yours is the kingdom of power and of glory forever. Amen." For yours is the kingdom. In other words, I'm partnering with you. I agree that the kingdom of God is what we need. And yours is the kingdom on this heaven, and it's mine. Man, that becomes an exciting adventure. Now the Lord's Prayer takes on meaning. When it comes from your heart, listen to me, that will change your husband, change your wife, change your children, and change your life. It'll be that which changes your job. It'll be that which changes your future. It'll take you from poverty to prosperity. It'll take you to failure to victory. It'll take you from unhealthy to healthy. It'll take you because God is in the house and he's looking for somebody that'll pray and talk to him from the depths of their heart, because the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth what? Much. Come on, somebody. It's just the way it is. So all of a sudden, this traditional thing that we've spoken out now has meaning. And that's the beauty of this. Tonight, we're going to start off with prayer. I'm finished, so I'm going to ask Teresa to come up. And we're going to start verse number 9, I'm going to ask Teresa to lead us in a prayer. Reverend Teresa is a prayer warrior. Yep. And if you've ever prayed with Reverend Teresa, she is amazing, much like Lupe de la Hoya. When Lupe prays, heaven and earth slap together. You know anywhere in the Inland Empire when Loopy prays. Teresa is the same way. Reverend Teresa, hallowed be thy name. I'd just like you to take a moment and lift up who he is. Let's enter in praise. If you want to stand during this, you can, or you can sit, doesn't matter. But either way, let's just do what God would have you to do.
Hallelujah. Father, we just worship you tonight, Lord God. We give you glory and honor. We thank you for who you are, Father. We recognize your holiness and your majesty tonight, Lord God. We turn our hands toward heaven, our hearts toward heaven, and we tell our souls, magnify the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. Lord, we exalt you for your goodness. We exalt you for your plan. We exalt you for your sovereignty. We thank you that you are the almighty God. You are the all-sufficient one. You are the God who is more than enough. You are the God who never leaves us, the God who never forsakes us, the God who sustains us, the God who keeps us, the God who worked out our salvation with his right hand, the God who holds us in the palm of his hand, the God who turns the hearts of the kings. Oh, Father, we worship you tonight. We exalt you. We give you praise. We thank you that you're on ready and we can turn to you and cry out to you. And you hear our voice when our hearts turn to you, oh God. And so tonight we glorify you, Lord. We give you honor. We give you glory. Your people praise you. Your people exalt you. Your people recognize that you are the Almighty One. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Reverend. The next one, let's pray with purpose tonight. His kingdom come on earth. And I'm going to ask Pastor Tony if you'll come and pray for us. Teresa, let's just let it out, dude. Yeah. Fervent prayers of a righteous man. Come on. Let's just
Heavenly
pray.
Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that we have a purpose, Father God, that you died for a purpose. And so that being said, we have a purpose. Our life is meaning something, Lord God. So Jesus, we pray that your will is done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord God. We are grateful that we get to partner with you in seeing your kingdom come, Jesus. So I pray for every person in this room, Lord God, that you would speak to them over their life, the purpose that you have for them, that you would call them into the next area of their life, Jesus. We are grateful that we know, Lord God, that we have a reason that we to get up off in the morning, Lord, and we have a purpose to step foot on this earth. Lord God, our spheres of influence, open up those doors that we may see your kingdom come, Lord God. I just speak it into existence, Lord God, that the people in this room, Lord, would get that awareness of who they are in you, that their identity is ever more ever present in who they are, Lord God, so that when we step foot into any room, into any area, into our work, into our schools, wherever we might go, Lord God, we would know that your will be done, Lord God, that this Inland Empire shall be saved, Lord God, that our workplaces shall see a change, that our homes will see provision, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, your purpose, your will on this earth, just how it is in heaven, here we might see it into existence. In Jesus' name we thank you.
Thank you. Isn't that good? I'm gonna ask Dr. Kanga to come up. He's my MD, and he is a great prayer warrior, and he's gonna pray for provision, which is found in verse number 11. You know, God wants to provide for you, does not want you broke down and out, wants you defeated by any means, don't want you thinking and worrying about finances. He wants you to be a giver and a blessed one, one who has more than enough. The Bible says,
Father God, we thank you that you have brought us here this evening. And as your will is, you delivered us from the curse of the law. That includes purposefully that you deliver us from poverty and lack. So we thank you this evening. We come to you for provision. Your word says that you have supplied our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, we cry out that you will provide for us. And you provide for us exceedingly, abundantly, above anything that we can ask or think. Everything that the devil has proposed for us to be in poverty, in lack, we bind and we destroy and we claim what you have purposed for us. You said that you will open the windows of heaven and pour out so much that we cannot even receive. So today, we lift our eyes to heaven and receive what you have given us through Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, we declare, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Good, thank you, Doctor. The next one we're going to pray is pardon. Now, Lord, forgive us for our everyday foolishness and lack of response to God, which is constant. And then we pray for others. And Pastor Joel, will you come and do that for us? We found in verse 12, by the way.
Father, today we come before you and we are real with you. Father, nobody here in this room is without excuse. Father, we have a debt, and that's sin. So today, Lord, we say, forgive us, and let that be the unlocking of the door to forgive others, to reach our destiny. Lord, I thank you that you're the God of forgiveness. And if you're the God of forgiveness, then I will forgive those who have hurt me. I will forgive those who offended me. I will forgive those that have judged me. Lord, because I want to be free, we need to be free, and our families need to be free. Father, in freedom, there's forgiveness, and I thank you, Lord, that forgiveness is coming to us today because we're saying first, I'm sorry. Lord, take my debt, take my sin, and wash me clean because I cannot do it myself. And I thank you, Lord, that freedom rests in our hearts. So when we go to the job tomorrow, when we go to the marketplace, when we go to school, Father, we would be lifted up. Lord, our debt would be clean and the slate would be leveled. In Jesus' name, we declare that over ourselves, over our community, over our families. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Jesus. So good. Thank you, Pastor. The last one in verse 13, actually the second to last one, is protection. And I thank God that he is our covering. Pastor Mike, will you come and lead us in a fervent prayer for protection for all of us? And by the way, some of you may be saying, well, I got saved, my sins are washed away. Yes, that's true. But that doesn't mean you didn't screw up yesterday. At least acknowledge that and respect God enough to know it. Bring it to him like Pastor Joel was talking about. Lord, forgive me for my foolishness. He will, because he washes you with the blood of the sins of the past as well as the sins of the future. But it's always good to acknowledge instead of just let it pass and expect it to happen. Lord, and that's what makes change, is when you talk to God about those things that were holding you back. So, Pastor Mike, will you pray for us for protection?
Yes, Father, your word says that he who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I thank you, Father, that we say of the Lord, he is our refuge. You are our refuge. You are our fortress. And in you we put our trust. We thank you, Father, for your protection. You cover us with your feathers. You cover us under your wings. You protect us from everything that we have coming our way. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper in any way, shape, or form. What the devil has assigned for us, we proclaim liberty in the Spirit over him. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, that you are the voice that causes us to turn to the left or to the right. We yield to that Spirit of God on the inside of us that's giving us direction. The steps of a good man and woman are ordered of the Lord, and we purpose to walk in your way, and we will not yield to anything else. And because of that, Father, we know that we are in your secret place. We are in your place. Your divine protection is over us. You give your angels charge over us to protect us in everything that we do, and we draw upon them, Father. Right now, we thank you that they hold us up so that we won't even stumble against anything or hit our toe against something, stumble against it. We thank you, Father, that he is protection. Their protection is us. We thank you, Father, that you are protecting us in every way, shape, everything that we do, Father, in this life, because we know that we are victorious in your name, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. It's great. And you know, also the last one we're going to pray. Remember, we're talking about praise, opening up with praise, coming to his gates with thanksgiving and praise. Tell him how wonderful it is. Then purpose. Remember what this is, thy kingdom come. Then, of course, today's needs. Provision, that was a great word. Pardon, Lord. I'm not as excited about things I should be excited about. I'm not moving where I need to. I forgive those people that have hurt me. Then protection. Then the last one is back to praise again for the partnership that we have. have with him. So, Pastor Sue, will you lead us in prayer?
Father, we thank you and praise you, Father. We are in partnership with you. It's God and sons, God and daughters. Father, you said the early disciples went about doing your works, Father, and you confirm the word as they preached it. You confirm the word with signs following. And so we thank you, Father. We just praise you that yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory. Amen, Father. That we can do nothing but that you equip us. We can do nothing but that you use us. Father, we are solely dependent on you. So, Father, we purpose in our heart to be used of you, Father. And we thank you, Father, for as we pray, as we go forth, Father, that you will work your work in us and through us in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.